Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my gosh, yes. That music wakes me up every time. So, hey everyone, this is All About Acting. I'm your host, Laura Jean, and your co-host, Jonathan Moody, are here today. I say it like I don't know my name. Like, I always introduce this, so I go, that's my name. So, our podcast today is really exciting. We have a few guests on today that Jonathan was able to put together and round up and have him on for today. And we have our first guest on today, and I'll have him introduce himself. Go ahead.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rob Callum, known as Papa Stro. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Rob. How are you? I wasn't sure if I was going to say your last name right or wrong, so that's why I was like, I'll just have you say it. So it's like, okay, I'll
Not kill him, but Kellum.
I mean, it could be Kellum. I mean, that's kind of cool, but okay.
By the way, I just had to say, I really dig the theme to the show. It almost sounds like the theme to The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Really cool.
I haven't seen The Running Man in forever, so I don't remember that, but that's awesome. I'll let the theme composer Jeff Brassfield know that. That you recognize that. I don't know if he did that, like that was his plan or not. But hey, it sounds great to me. It sounds kind of like opening of like a newscast or something, you know. And I think that's what he was going with.
I have no idea. I think it's terrible. Every time I just feel like I'm surfing on a wave or whatever.
My favorite line from that movie was when Mick Fleetwood, he was also in it too, right? He was one of the rebels that was helping Schwarzenegger escape, and he made it a Star Trek reference to one of his rebel buddies. He said, Mr. Spock, you may have the calm, right? and one of the rebel buddies who happened to be Frank Zappa's son, Dweezil Zappa, right? He looks back at Mick Fleetwood and goes, "Who's Spock?" And Mick Fleetwood just shakes his head, you know? It's really cool.
I was always wondering about that when somebody does a reference to something or whatever, like a pop culture reference. Do they have to, like, get the people's permission or whatever, things like that? And I just learned today, listening to a podcast, that apparently for some things you don't. If it's kind of, like, in the public eye or whatever, like, people know about it, it's very, you know what I mean? They don't have to, but if you're, like, wearing a shirt, then you got to be careful. But if it's, like that would probably fall under parody, you know, them making fun of Star Trek or whatever, you know. Right. You know what I mean? Like, that guy saying that stuff. So I don't know. By the way, our next guest is on, so let me bring her on here. Hey, Tristan, are you on?
I am. How's it going?
Going well.
Right. I'm excited to have you on.
Everybody that
late to the party, guys.
So if you didn't hear, if everyone didn't hear, because Jonathan just announced, this is Tristan Risk. I am first meeting these two lovely people today, but Jonathan kind of is familiar with these two people, and so I'll just shut up and I'll let Tristan introduce herself and who she is and what she does and where she's from. Go ahead.
Hi everyone, I'm Tristan Risk, also known in burlesque and sideshow circles as Little Miss Risk. I'm also an actor, writer, now just director, and striptease artist out of Vancouver, BC, in Canada, for those of you who are like, what the fuck is BC?
Canada, yes, represent.
Yeah.
Before Christ, Vancouver, before Christ.
Love Canada.
That's awesome.
So burlesque, a little thing on that, I actually used to do burlesque as well. For the people that actually are listening that don't know that about me, I was a singer for a 1940s burlesque troupe in Los Angeles and dancer, and my name was that I used was Marilyn Hart. So that was my
very cool name.
Wow. I feel like it's funny. It's like I've been doing burlesque like just about 20 years now, which is amazing because I'm still 25, right? And I'm beginning to see, like, everyone's like, oh, I had this time when I was doing burlesque, or I did burlesque once, and I'm like, cool. It's turning into, like, a lot of people's rite of passage. Like, you know, not everyone necessarily can do roller derby because there's, like, a lot of physical things involved in that, you know,
I still
need all my bones in one piece, generally, for everything else that I do. So I have a lot of respect for the people who just, like, are total, like, kamikaze in there. And it's awesome to watch, but I am watching. I am eyeballs only.
That's awesome.
it's actually really cool. Like it's fast. A friend of mine now acquaints because we're so far apart. They're still in New York City, and I'm out here in San Francisco, that we don't really keep in touch that much anymore. But same kind of thing. She, her name is Katrina Cunningham, and she was in the burlesque industry in New York for a while. And that actually kind of got her a big enough name to where she started doing, got called on to sing a song and write a song for a Broadway show. And now she's like she's singing and doing tours throughout Europe and the U.S. now. And it's so funny because, like, exactly what you said, it's like kind of that rite of passage where you get those nerves out, those performance nerves doing burlesque, you know. It's like you kind of like, okay, well, I'm used to this now. I got my nerves out being on stage and meeting people and performing. Now I can kind of take this and, like, do something more with it. And she's definitely on that path, which is fantastic.
And more
people are doing it. Yeah, and more men are doing it now, too, especially here in San Francisco. That's, like, a thing. You know, almost every burlesque show you go to, it's all men, and it's beautiful, and it's amazing. And for me, I like it because, you know, all these – they're all shapes and sizes here as well. You know, you don't just get, you know, and that's everywhere actually. But as far as seeing the men all shapes and sizes, and they don't feel like they need to have their six pack abs, and they can be full.
No, they can rock the
vibrant.
Dad bod.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh man, I got a brother in San Francisco. He's a chef, so I don't know about the six pack part. It'd be kind of hard because all the good cooking. You know?
Oh my gosh, I will say, yeah, the food is fabulous. I even have a little, like, belly, a little, like, piglet belly going on with all the food. now I just, like, roll into bed. I have to, like, roll into bed. Like.
Nice.
I love it. But yeah, it's great. I love it. Burlesque is such a great community, and it continues on to, you know, you meet people in that community when you start doing other things. And you're like, oh, my God, yeah, I remember you. And I remember you performing this a couple years ago or whatever. And now you're, you know, doing a film project together. You're, you know, on a podcast or whatever. So, you know, Tristan, you said you're going into directing. You know, maybe one day you'll find yourself hiring, you know, some burlesque girl that you worked with before that just so happens, you know, to be an actor too.
Oh, shit, yeah, I'm all about nepotism. Like, I don't want to meet new people. I just want to, like, hire people that I already know are awesome and can do the work, right?
Yeah.
Right, absolutely.
I'm lazy as fuck, so I'm like, I know lots of talented people. I don't have to fucking, like, outsource this shit.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not true. I was literally having that conversation today with someone. They had asked me, you know, because I'm working on this feature film at the end of the summer, and they're like, oh, where is it? And I go, oh, it's in Los Angeles, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, how did you get it? And I go, well, you know, I worked with the director before, and he called me in, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's usually how you get work in Los Angeles, because otherwise there's, like, no way you can get work. You have to just know somebody. I was like, okay, yeah. Yeah, like, I know that they were, like, so, like, straight on about it. I was like, yeah, but it's true, you know. Like, even the director said, like, I've worked with you guys before, like, the whole crew, You know, he's like, I know you guys can get the work done. I know you guys will be there. You'll show up. You'll do your work. So we're doing this. You know, we're doing this project together. And it's great. It's fabulous.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention that basically the reason, well, one of the main reasons I had thought to ask Tristan was because I just watched The Editor, which was filmed in Canada and was in my horror pack. So I was like, oh, I haven't seen this movie yet. And I absolutely loved it. It is one of those movies that, like, really kind of just fucks with your mind a little bit and just really,
like,
really
a good
fun.
Yellow should.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. You have to explain to me what this is, both of you, what this movie is.
Okay, you go, Tristan.
This is a film created by a Canadian troupe of thespians known as Astron 6. They've done Manborg, Biocop, and Father's Day, both Father's Day and Manborg were released on Troma. So they already had a little bit of a following.
Cool.
Yeah, so these guys, they're very, very Canadian in their writing and their sense of humor, which is why the kind of weird slapstick quality of The Editor worked so well with Giallo, because it's just it went back and forth between being an homage to Giallo horror and, like, kind of making fun of it and not taking itself too seriously. And I mean, you see breasts, butts, dicks, everything, a lot of blood, over the top blood, that beautiful, like, carmine red blood that you see in all of Argento's films. Like, it's spectacular, complete with unnecessary dance scene with hair tosses and soulful air grabs.
Like the moon tonight.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of my favorite movies that I've worked on, because it's not just about one actor. It's about the ensemble troupe, which has the Astron 6 guys. It has Lawrence Harvey from Human Centipede 2, whom I've had the pleasure of working with frequently. And it had Udo Kier in it as well. So there was a lot of, like, really cool people working on this film coming together, and it was really, you know, wonderful to be part of that cast.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. And when did that come out? Is that a recent thing, or has it been out for a while?
That's like 2015, 2016, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was released by Screen Factory, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, Yeah, and then Horror Pack just released, like, I think it was the same version, basically. It might have just been, like, a DVD combo with it, you know, which I think is a little bit different. But I hadn't heard of it. I should have, you know, like, and a lot of other people had. Like, I've been watching all these videos of the people opening their Horror Packs, and I had done one, like, an unboxing, and I had not heard of The Editor, but, like, other people did. Other people are like, oh, yeah, I already own this movie, you know, right? And I was like, I hadn't heard of it. Like, I don't know. I guess it had gone under the radar to me, you know, but I loved it. I thought it was definitely. I emailed one of the directors, one of the directors
Adam
of it, and I told him. And it was an Adam. It was on.
Matt,
maybe it was Adam.
They're pretty interchangeable. They have same brain a lot of the time.
Okay, I added them both, and then I chatted with one of them, and I told them that I was gonna watch it, and I was really loving it, you know, because I was already at the beginning and I was enjoying it, and he was like, I hope you love it all the way through. You know, like, I guess he's a little worried I was not going to like the, you know, and I dug the ending, I dug everything. Just, it was exactly what I kind of, like, and I just watched Suspiria, so it was very much, like, I could tell it was
Oh, yeah, that's a really good night in, Suspiria and The Editor, fuck yeah.
Right, yeah, that would be, like, a great double feature right there, especially with the ballerina stuff, which I think you would like, Laura, because they have, like, some like really cool ballerina shots in, you know, in Suspiria, and then they also have in the editor they have some ballerina stuff. You know, I think it was there was a movie right that they were making, and you know it was using the ballerinas and stuff, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It was fun. I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed Tristan's part in it. Though it's smaller than I expected. I thought you were going to have a bigger part, but you know, but it was still a fun part. You know, I saw
it was
so.
A fun part.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah,
so
I enjoyed all my
scenes. Yeah, if
like,
anyone wants to
was,
see it,
it was.
Go to Amazon.com and buy it. I swear to God, you guys are going to love it.
Amazon.com.
Yay, thank you for the shameless plug. Woo!
Yeah, right on.
All those plugs is why we're here. Well, that's why we're here. But on to that, well, since Tristan got her plug, let's give Rob a chance to talk about, do you have anything that just came out recently or is out or you have worked on? So you're a stunt coordinator. And so, which if you were a wrestler, yes or no? Did I get that wrong?
Oh my God. I'm an actor for TV and film, wrestler, stunt coordinator, ambassador, trainer, God knows, you name it, you know. It's crazy. Craziest schedule ever. I'm currently on the season 2 of the Dust series, Betraying the Chief, who's actually the Grim Reaper in the series. But it's a supernatural series that has vampires, werewolves, witches, celestials, all kinds of stuff going on. And what's going on, there's like a master plan going on to where supernatural phenomena is going to have to switch sides, more or less, take sides. Part of the supernatural phenomena wants to save mankind, and part of them wants to do away with mankind. And there's like a big struggle, inner struggle right now in the supernatural world. And I just as the chief, pretty much dropped the bomb on the master plan in the last episode that we did for Dusk. So a lot of cool things are happening. But they had their own Facebook page. We can catch up on all the episodes leading up to the final episode, which will be coming out, I think, in a couple weeks. And their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/DuskSeries, D-U-S-K series. And I tell you, the cast, this is great. Great cast and crew for the series. I mean, and from all walks of life. I'm a lady actress that portrays Celeste, one of the female werewolves in the series. She's like a country R&B artist, music artist.
Oh, wow.
Cassie Page, and she just won Artist of the Year, actually, and she's coming out with a new album and everything. It's amazing. And Steve Russ and Wolf Hayden, who portrays some of the vampires and werewolves in the series. They're like medieval sword fighters and, you know, from medieval Renaissance festivals and everything. And and Alyssa Page and Zanna, I mean, they're like theater actors. And it's just it's a great assortment of cast and crew that pretty much puts everything together. And Ron Rossman Jr., who is the director and writer for the series, he's also a cosplay artist who does a lot of the cosplaying for a lot of the Comic-Con as well. So, I mean, very talented group of people, and just blessed to be a part of it. So got that going on. Got two films coming out. One with C. Thomas Howell and Randy Jones. It's a family film called The Rack Pack, based on a true story about Darrell Rackley, who is a military man, remembering his childhood growing up at the Rack Pack with a bunch of his little friends. And myself and C. Thomas Howell, we betray the thieves that kidnap their dad, and they play pranks on us to go save their dad from us, you know what I mean? So it's really cool. And also another film coming out called Sacred Hearts, where I betray an Italian hitman, and myself and some of the crooks that betrayed like an act, ironically an acting agency. and the hero of the story, Cornelius, comes, saves his wife from us because we pretty much lured her into the fact that she was going to have a spot on her show, and turned out it was all a facade, if you will.
Yeah.
So that got that going on. And I just got in the music video a month or so ago with a heavy metal band out of Texas called So It Begins.
Oh, my God.
With a new single called Retaliation. It's on YouTube right now. It stars myself, Alex Zadra, who's a gun specialist, actually a legit gun specialist, and Eli Double Tap. Yeah, and it's like real recreation of the whole Punisher film, if you recall the Punisher movie, right? And
yeah.
I portrayed John Travolta's villain role in the film, and Alex Zadra, she portrays the Punisher role. So it's really cool. But you can check it out on YouTube. It just type in So It Begins, which is the name of the rock band, and their single Retaliation.
You are so
awesome.
I was like, I was sitting here going, are you ever going to stop? But you
didn't. And that's just tip of the iceberg, man. It's been crazy. But, you know, I'm just, like, blessed to do what I can do, and on top of the other many things, other things I do. And, you know, I go to these conventions, do seminars. I still do wrestling events every now and then, so, you know.
That's awesome.
It's really cool.
That is awesome. I am a big fan of, you know, doing, you know, the 50,000 things and staying busy as long as it's, you know, in all the genres that you love and you know and you work in and you're making it happen. It's fabulous because that's exactly what you're doing. And, you know, and I feel like for anyone listening, if you have any questions or want to reach out to any of these two, definitely follow us on our Facebook page, and you can, you know, type in your questions, and, you know, I'm sure these guys would love to answer any questions, especially with Rob, because you have so many. It's like, how do you juggle everything? That's my question for you. Just how do you juggle jumping from one thing to another? Tell me, how do you do it?
A lot of coffee, an occasional Red Bull every now and then. I wonder myself, you know, but I mean, it's like, it's just, I've always been like into like a million things basically growing up, and, you know, it kind of stuck with me. So I never wanted to put all my eggs in one basket. You know what I mean? That's how I come to branch out, be adventurous.
Absolutely. That's great.
I was going to say, like, I wanted to make sure we plugged Checkpoint, which is a movie that that Rob was in that's actually also available on Amazon. I got it at Walmart back when it was there. Don't know if it's still available at Walmart or whatever, but definitely check that out because I really, really enjoyed it, and not just because, you know, that Rob's in and a bunch of really big name people are in it, but, like, it's just a fun action movie. You know,
it's really cool. Yeah, William Forsythe, Fred Williamson, my buddy Bill Goldberg, who I wrestled with in WCW, and he's also now like a Hall of Famer now. Kenny Johnson, who's currently on the SWAT series, CBS SWAT series. It's a great cast and crew. It's just a pleasure to be part of, and it's dedicated to the veterans, you know, the military veterans and everything. So
that's cool.
Really cool to be part of that. And also on Amazon and just popped on YouTube recently in the last month or so is a drama from them in called Son of Clowns, which is more of a, like mentioned, more of a drama. And I'm in the film, I portray Angus, who's like part of the circus family. He's like the circus strongman in the film. And the story is about this local TV celebrity that loses his TV show and ends up going back home to his family that runs a circus. And he feels like he let everybody down by losing his TV show. And he's going to this big depression, and he gets into alcohol and everything. And he ends up falling in love with this lady who works at a balloon shop, right, where he got the balloons at for the circus. And and they, in turn, you know, got to be really close and tight, and he got really bad off. But through his family and his new love in his life, he was able to turn things around and get things back on track for the better. It's a good story.
Well, I immediately, when you said son of clown, I immediately went to, like, the sons of Pennywise. Like, if Pennywise is going to have a son, what would happen?
I was thinking, like, Sons of Anarchy meets, like, Bozo the Clown and a whole bunch of, like, Harley Davidson riding, like, clown gangbangers. I'm like, that could be cool.
Oh, yeah, with the wrestling thing, I got this little girl doll named Dorothy, right? And it was John,
yeah.
Seen a few things. And we've got her on YouTube channel. We do all these creepy Boris Karloff black and white scary videos and stuff. And, like, I'll even come out the fog in the ring. And I got Dorothy, like, a black stroller with cobwebs around, and I got this, like, flashing skull necklace wearing. This is crazy stuff. I look like the Emperor Palpatine from The Emperor when I come out, you know? Pretty crazy. But, yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, speaking of bikers and stuff, Tristan, you were in Frankenstein Created Bikers.
So I was.
Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
That was directed by James Bicker, and it was probably one of the last films to be shot on 8mm film, because it is fucking hard as shit and expensive to come by these days. And also, it's a lot fussier than what digital is now. But that was shot on location in Atlanta, Georgia, over the course of three weeks. And it was one of my funnest roles ever, playing this character, Psycho Val, who is leading a rival biker gang against the Impalers, led by machine gun toting strippers wearing kitty cat masks. And I was like, well, I've achieved a few life goals here with this film, and it is a 2-hour exploitation extravaganza. It is, there is, like, explosions, there's fantastic patter. Like, I always watch it a couple times because I'm usually laughing so hard that I'm like, I'm fucking missing all the dialogue here. This is, no, I got to watch this again. So
you're like, let me rewind this and actually pay attention.
yeah. So James Bickert, the writer and director, recently came out with another film that I am a part of called Amazon Hotbox, which is also in the vein of exploitation, women in prison films. However, do not be fooled by the exploitation package. It is, in fact, a Trojan horse of feminist dogma, which it makes it even better. And someone at the screening described as dazed and confused of exploitation films. And I was like, finally, a stoner movie I can be proud of.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
And will we be able to see, like, we'll be able to see that soon? Is that going to come on, like, digitally somewhere? What's that?
It just finished its theatrical run in Atlanta at the Plaza Theater. And I know that it will be available eventually through Dark Side Releasing. That's our distributor. So I think they're going to be doing a hard copy, and it will eventually be available on VOD, iTunes, potentially Netflix. We'll see. But I will keep everybody posted. But you can go to AmazonHotbox.com and order a copy online as well.
That's awesome. I was just in Atlanta actually shooting a Florida State Lottery commercial.
Today you were? Today?
Yeah, I was like in the commercial. I'm like this bodyguard of the guy who just won the lotto. And we're like a freezer, and he wants me to stay with him to protect his winnings. It was so dumb because, I mean, it's like it's hot as hell there in downtown Atlanta, right? But we're supposed to act like we're cold. And, you know, I'm all decked out in this three-piece suit, the sweating my ass off in the scene.
Oh, I'm sure. In San Francisco, it's been like 80. It's like the highest it's ever been. So I'm sure down there in Florida, it's crazy.
Oh, man.
Or wherever you were. Atlanta? Where are you?
Right.
It's crazy. And on that note, since we've been talking about, you know, your guys' projects and everything, let's move on to, let's start with Tristan. Your process when you get a role in a film, because I guess you know, this podcast is called All About Acting. I guess we have to talk about it. Your process as an actor when you get your role and how you like to prepare yourself. Do you like to, you know, pre-prepare way in advance? Do you like to be on set? You know, all those things. I'm sure you know what I mean. And just discuss your process and how you get ready. And when you're on set, how do you like to be?
On set, I can be, especially if I'm doing a really intense or energetic performance, leading up to that point, I'll probably be a little quieter because I'm just kind of getting my head where I need it to be to kind of have the impact that I want for film. Prior to filming, once I have a role, you have to understand I have a terrible ego. It is terribly, terribly large. So when I get a role and it's in the film and I have the script in front of me, I love to just dive into the script. And like, I was that kid that read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory until it like fell apart. So I like something, I read it a lot. So I like a script that I like, I read it a lot. And I really enjoy being able to play around with the different things to do in front of the mirror, just to kind of try the character on. Sometimes, and I'm sure everybody kind of feels this a little bit too, if they read a character on printed page, it really jumps off the page of them, and you just immediately know who this character is, 100%, no shadow of a doubt. And there's other times where you need to kind of, like getting to know a person, you need to spend time with that character. So, you know, you just kind of hang out in the mirror, or you might do things that that character do. Like, not 100% method, because I feel like a big portion of the people I know who I've seen do method acting are, like, they go a little crazy. But at the same time, you know, like, you don't lose yourself, you know? Like, you can kind of, like, try it on. Like, you put on a dress, but you don't live in the dress. You don't shower in the dress. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
I'm going to try this out for a night.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the process I like. It's, like, it's kind of, like, I like building it up and, like, seeing layers and, like, who is this person? And who are they going to be in front of the camera? Because it's, like, you can really tell when you're watching someone acting and they know their lines and they know how to parrot the lines, but they really don't know what they're saying. Because they just don't know who they are at all. And, you know, there's quite enough people like that in real life who don't know who they are, and talking to them is painful. So there's no reason to make anybody watch that or pay money to see it.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
I love it. Well, Rob, on that note, your turn.
Just like Tristan I'd like to dive myself into the character. I'm a big visionary, so I have to, like, visualize not just my lines, remembering them, like, going through them literally all night, if you will. I pretty much just dive into everything, but I dive into, like, the whole scenery of the scene, and which, you know, I visualize, like, the settings and all that, and, like, whether if it's a dark character, I just I'll put on the headphones, listen to some music, and just go in some dark places and just kind of get a feel of that dark persona. Just as like with Son of Clowns, you know, with the character of Angus, I know I would like study different things that required to do with the circus, of course, and hang around and talk to people and do my homework on that. And just you just have to... I guess you would call it a version of method acting, in which, like, for example, we talked about Checkpoint earlier. I mean, Kenny Johnson, pretty much the same deal. I mean, there was a scene where he had to, like, just lose his shit because he's seen a friend of his getting executed in a certain point on through the window, right, on television, right? And he had to, like, do this scene where he's, like, totally freaking out, right? And he's just going off to this little place where he's, like, he's got the headphones on, and he's holding his breath. It's like he's getting into the role of just really getting ready to build up to that boiling point where he's like ready to freak out. That's pretty much me. You know what I mean? I like to really put myself into the role in which, you know, it's like you want to get a feel of how that the character you're portraying feels and at that time, and come across as how you would put yourself, how would you react if this would happen to you. So it's like, you know, vicariously you live in through that role. And I mean, I feel like you can't really get across to the viewer what message you want to get across to the viewer with the story unless you put yourself into that situation. So
yeah, that's great. I love that a lot of the actors that we've been chatting with, that's one of the major things they like doing. And it's great to hear because it means that there are a lot of performers out there putting in their all and really wanting to dive in and feel what it's like to be in that moment. So I just want to say, how is it like winning the lottery today then for you? For your lottery commercial.
Oh, for my lottery commercial, yeah. Well, I mean, I wish I was the guy that actually won the lottery rather than the bodyguard freezing his ass off in the cooler. But, you know what I mean? That'd be nice, but hey, someday maybe.
Yeah, but I'd love to switch that, and let's go to not the non-actor side of your guys' jobs. And Tristan, how is it for you? You mentioned now, you know, you said, well, now directing. I would love to hear your end on how you'd like to work with actors on the directing side. How is that going for you? Or if you've already been in that situation, and how is that different from being an actor?
From being an actor, I feel like when I've worked with directors, I usually, if I've worked with them before, if I've known them before I go on to set, we usually have a pretty good rapport. And I've been fairly lucky with being able to speak to people and have them be really interested in having a collaboration and a meeting of the minds. And, you know, it's not about, you do this and, you know, you're like a painted pony. Like, you know, I'm very much aware that for a lot of these directors, many of them are also writers. So you become the vessel for their creativity. And it's like basically you're holding their baby. Don't drop their baby.
Yeah.
So I'm always very cognizant of that. And when I directed my first short, which was in March, called Parlor Tricks, I had written each of the characters in the short based on the actors who were playing them. And when I went to make the film, I was like, guys, I wrote this thing and I kind of want you guys to be in it and tell me what you think. And fuck me if every single one of them signed on to do it, and it was awesome. They went above and beyond the expectations, and I am so thrilled with it. So in doing that, I have to say that I don't think I've gotten the full directorial experience because I was too busy grinning like an idiot and clapping my hands behind the camera when I was watching my takes. Everyone was exactly what I wanted. So I haven't had the point where I have to be like, can we try something else? Like, I feel like you're not feeling this. Can we work? Like, that has not come up yet. And I touch wood tentatively to kind of stave off that situation as long as possible. But my actors were really good about, like, is that okay? And I'm like, it was fantastic. Everything, let's do that again. And it's nothing to do with your performances, and it's everything to do with the camera, because oftentimes I'll be on the other side of the camera, and I'll be like, why are we going again? What did I fuck up? I got all the lines, right? Is there a booger in my nose? Oh, Jesus, there's probably like a Kellogg's cornflake jammed up there right now. So I have like all this anxiety about that kind of thing. So if the director is just like, no, it's nothing to do with you. We're going to try something with a light or a camera lens or what have you. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm not the reason that we're going again. And, you know, we're further delayed from having lunch. It's nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Do you both feel that, do you both think that possibly, working with directors that are also actors or were once also actors are best to work with? or no? I mean, or is it just whatever?
I think that's I personally think that depends entirely on the individual. I know people who could be great actors but terrible directors, and vice versa. So I think that's for me, case by case basis. Rob, what are your thoughts on that?
I pretty much agree the same way. I mean, it all depends on the individual, because you know, I've been on set with some directors who were great switching from director to actor, vice versa, and that I've been on set with directors that were just I've had some crazy directors. I saw this one director one time for this deal I was doing where he got, I mean, I thought him and the producer were going to like scrap right in the middle of the scene. I'm like, oh my god, I'm the referee to fight, you know. But yeah, pretty funny stuff. But I mean, like you said, it all depends on the individual.
Yeah.
You weren't, Rob, you weren't talking about that certain movie that we're not probably going to talk about on here exactly, but the one we talk about from time to time that you were on the set for.
Not particularly that one, but I do remember that one. That was the one where I thought the director was going to try some wrestling moves on someone that wanted to guess.
Oh, my goodness.
The director was, and he was trying to scrap with an actual professional wrestler, for what I remember.
Oh, my word.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Don't do that.
Too funny.
I think that's a good segue to talk about a little bit about independent film acting, as opposed to obviously, you know, when you work on a studio film or bigger project. You know, because I know, Rob, you worked on, some TV shows like Sleepy Hollow and, is it called Sleepy Hollow? Or is it called something else?
Sleepy Hollow, and I just did Good Behavior the last year.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was, we were in it was a scene where, like, myself and Chris, you know, we were like the investigators investigating a jewelry heist during this ritzy soiree party they were having, right? And Letty, one of the main characters, you know, she swapped some jewelry off, right? And she was the real culprit, but, you know, of course, we never found out, right? But but it was so hot. Oh, my God, it was so hot. Everybody had to stay dressed up for that whole episode, and it was like the hottest part of the year, and oh my gosh, we're all dying. But they took care of us, you know what I mean?
Like extremely hot.
Oh man, they kept us hydrated and everything. I mean, the cast and crew were great there, but it was just, I just remember still being so hot in there. We're all suffering that day.
That's so great. I will say, like, going on that question, Josh, for myself, just recently, even just a little bit of difference of the production value makes it feel different, you know, for the actor. Like, recently, John, you know this, I went to L.A. for a screen test for this feature that I'm doing. And it's a screen test for lenses, the types of lenses they want to use for certain scenes. And mm-hmm. So it's basically, you know, I had no idea that, you know, I was just like, as an independent, you know, horror actor, you know, I also do other stuff, but, you know, like mainly horror, you know, you walk in and it's different feeling. It's very relaxed. It's very, you don't have screen tests. Like, you don't do that. That's like not a thing. And like, so I just assume like it's, I'm going to get down to L.A., it's going to just be like a rehearsal of sorts with like maybe a camera. I'm like, cool, this is great. I roll up to this place and, you know, it's this person's like, you know, high-end house, and then the crew rolls up and there's multiple cars and they have tons of boxes and equipment and lighting and this. I was like, I turned to my co-star, I was like, are we shooting the movie today? Like, are we shooting a section of it? Am I unsure? Was I not aware of what's going on? Like, it was just really crazy. Like, and my co-star Jim, he was like, I don't think so. If we are, I don't have a costume. Like, we're just, like, freaking the fuck out. It was crazy. And all these people roll up. This guy comes out of his house. He's like, hey, I'm Andrew. I'm the assistant director. I was like, hey. You know, and we got hired, obviously, by, you know, the director. And we finally, the director rolls up. And his name's Monty. Shout out to Monty. And we're like, oh, so are we, what's going on here? Like, there's a whole crew here. He goes, oh, yeah, so we have a production team. Like, we got, you know, the script is, you know, we got people that want to, you know, help us put it together and this, that, and the other. And it's a full SAG agreement and all this, that, and the other. And,
oh, wow.
You know, and, yeah, and so he's like, yeah, so this production team is going to be doing it with us. And this is our assistant now, our assistant director, the AD. I was like, oh, okay, great. What am I like? And I'm like, this is awesome. And I walked in, and they set up the whole thing. And here I thought it was just us doing, like, a feature with a friend kind of scenario again. And it's turning out to be this huge, beautiful production. We have a guy in Australia doing our costumes, hand-making our costumes, because it's called Space. And so we're literally getting handmade space suits. One of our bodies. Yeah, and like helmets and stuff. And so I'm like, so they set up everything, and then we're sitting there, we're getting ready to go, and then all of a sudden he passes these papers out for us to sign, just for the screen test, you know? And he's like, you got to sign these things, and da da da. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, what is that? Okay, let me sign these things. It was a great experience because it was definitely, it was one of those situations where I'm like, I thought I was just going to like head there, be relaxed scenario. No way. You know, there's like 10 people. There's like, you know, a huge light. Like, it was fabulous. It was really fun. It was great. And, you know, it turned out to be a really great experience. And the crew is awesome. And, you know, it just made me more excited for the actual shoot. You know, I'm like, oh, wow, this is, you know, I thought this is just going to be another little, I mean, it still is an independent project, but it's a bigger independent project. So it just felt, it was really fun, you know, it's really fun. And, and so it just does make a difference. It definitely makes you want, to work harder. That's for sure. You know, like I walked in and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I can't tell my dick jokes. Like, that's not going to happen today. I'm like, let me just get a LaCroix and let me sit down and act like I'm reading my script. Let me just like.
Yeah.
Nice.
But, you know, it was fun. It was great. Yeah, I was there for a day. It was fun, and it got everyone kind of ready for what's going to happen later.
Right.
But, you know, it's just a really, I hope everyone out there, you get the chance to, like, have that moment where you just block up and it's just like, oh, shit, this is serious.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, great.
Tristan, have you had, like, an experience being on a bigger set than you're used to, and like, how did you handle that?
I got nervous and just like scooted over and ate the catering. That's usually my go-to when I'm feeling like anxiety in social situations. I'm like, oh, where are the almonds? I have to go over there now. You know, it's like the eating impulse thing. Except that a lot of the bigger sets I've been on, I've been in prosthetic makeup. And that means that I can't just stuff my face full of stuff. I've got to find small things I can put between my forefinger and my thumb and place in my mouth. So I try not to fuck up my mouth makeup. However, it's like right before I go back on camera, the makeup artist is like, what did you do to your mouth? What were you eating? And I'm like, Cheetos. And they're like, oh.
Cheetos.
So then I have to stand there like a fourth grader who's being admonished while they fix my face and everyone's waiting. And I'm like, sorry guys, I was just, you know, hungry. Yeah. So that's what happens to me in that situation.
Oh my God. It just reminded me of a time that I was putting on set for this film on an island outside the Atlantic, right? And I don't know if I ever told you about this, John. You probably heard about it. Oh, my God. It was this island. And all I mean, the story was there's this killer and this vampire on this island. It was, and there's like supposed to be a big college party going on, right? And you had college kids, you had this Swedish biker gang, you had a couple of guys like myself, and we're supposed to be celebrating and then getting this big fight, and it was supposed to come down to the vampire and the killer on the island, right? And the ferry guy that took us to the island, right, forgot to come back and get us. So we're like stuck in this island all night. No joke. It was just like a scene from Survivor. No joke. A tiki lamp. And, I mean, and the catering. All the guy from catering brought was like this like thing of chicken from Walmart, right, you know. And a few bottles. So we're like starving and dying of thirst and praying it doesn't rain. And had like generators. You know, generators for the cameras so they can film and the makeup for makeup and too. And it was god awful. And you had this rock band, this lady rock band from Russia there. And you had this, the magician who was on America's Got Talent there. And it was just nuts. And some of the cast and crew were making out. Yeah, some of the cast and crew were making out in the dunes, the sand dunes, you know what I mean? And and by the time morning came, we all looked like natives from King Kong movie. I mean,
you're like, it's like, been 24 hours, not even 12 hours, and we're already turned into cavemen.
it was brutal. And finally, the ferry guy finally came and got us that morning. But by that time, it was just like Survivor. We were just I looked like Schwarzenegger from Predator movie.
That's
after
so funny.
When they go to pick him up, it had mud on my face and everything. You know what I mean?
I feel like that's like the society these days. You know, like even like without our phone for a little bit, we just go crazy. We're like monkeys. You know, like we run around and we're like, and I was like yelling at people. My boyfriend told me a story today. He goes, yeah, so I walked to Trader Joe's, and I was walking out, and this lady came up to me and said, you're an odd one. And he goes, what do you mean? Like, I'm an odd one. She goes, you're not on your phone. Like, it was, like, weird. Like, he goes, this lady thought it was fucking weird because I wasn't on my phone.
Oh, my God.
Like, I was like, only in San Francisco would someone call you out on that. Like, walking out of Trader Joe's. Why aren't you on your phone?
Unreal.
Damn it. Get on your phone.
Right?
You're too wild. You're a gay man.
Shro, when you were talking about that, it reminded me of, like Castaway or something. You know, like they're all Tom Hanks.
I wish I had Wilson in my hand talking to him. That'd be more exciting than what went down. Seriously.
It was the Walmart chicken.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And that was, jeez. Unreal.
Oh, my God. I recently watched a show. Are you guys familiar with Rooster Teeth? At all?
No.
I've heard of it, yeah.
You go to like roosterteeth.com or you can find them on YouTube. They have this show called Camp Camp. And I swear there's like a scene that's like, it's an adult cartoon show and it's like that, there's a scene that's like what you're describing, Rob. Like the kids go to like this offshore island that's like across from their camp and they like freak out and one of the girls goes crazy. It's really cute, it's fun. And they're just, they're one of those groups of people. They're from Austin, Texas, and they started out with these really awesome podcasts, and they got known with these podcasts, and they do these awesome shows. They play video games and podcasts, and they do Ruby. Have you guys ever heard of the awesome like anime Ruby? They did that. So they have this new show out, this cartoon that they also make and they do the voices for, and it's called Camp Camp. But I mean, it's fucking hysterical. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's just like they're trying, the kids just don't want to be at camp at all. And they're just trying to leave the whole time. They just don't want to be there. They just can't handle it. They can't survive. But and talk about acting,
yep.
They also have a few awesome, you know, little podcast live stream videos where they kind of just do some improv, and they just go out there and they do some really fun sketches, and they, you know, they nick at each other, and they, you know, it's really fun, and it's just something to look into. That's not only for you guys, but for everyone out there listening. They're called Rooster Teeth, and they're just, if you haven't heard of them yet, go now, because they're going to be a big thing if they aren't already. Yeah, because they're just really, they do kind of like what you do, Rob. You know, they're not only podcasters, they act, they write their own shows, they direct each other's shows.
Right.
You know, they're doing it all, and they also do internships. So if you guys ever want to, like, go to Austin and do an internship with their company, they do that kind of stuff too, and it's just an awesome team, and they're just hysterical, and they're all, like, you know, 40-year-old, 50-year-old men and women that are, you know, acting like they're 12, and I'm a big fan of that. it's great.
Amazing. Well, I'm going to have to leave you guys now, but thank you so much for having me tonight.
You're so great. It was so good to chat with you and meet you through voice. It was so great to meet your voice. Before you go, I would love for you to just shout out all your handles, like where everyone can see or find you and all that stuff.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, you can follow me on Facebook under Tristan Risk or under my sideshow troupe, The Caravan of Creeps. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter under @LittleMissRisk. And then you can also look for me on Netflix with American Mary, Aliens Ate My Homework, The Editor, ABCs of Death 2, and more recently,
nice.
Amazon Hotbox.
Sweet. All
right.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much. You've been busy. Holy cow.
Right. Yeah, you know, my Rolling Stones now they're not lost, right? Good night from Van City, folks. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
Bye. Have a good evening.
Bye.
And come on anytime.
Cool.
Bye.
So she's gone. So we can talk about her now. That's fine. I know you guys
she was wonderful. She was great.
I am going to say, you know, it's so funny because I did not realize she was from British Columbia. And, you know, because my agent is from, you know, up there and around those areas. And I wanted to ask her, I'm going to message her and be like, so, you know, this agency, and do they know if they do any work, you know, up there and stuff like that? Because I would love to have more excuses. I love Vancouver, and I love that area, too. It's just beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful out there, yeah.
And they do so much filming up there. And, you know, I would love an excuse to just there and film anytime.
That would be awesome.
Even if it's just like, maybe I could do a thing with Rob, and we could just go up there and live on an island for a day and record it and see what happens. We thought we could make it. it's like that thing on. Have you guys? I don't know if you guys heard the show or watched the show. It's Handmaid's Tale, but it's like the lead actress. She tries to get to Canada, you know, for asylum, to, like, survive.
Okay.
And no matter what she does, she can't get there. It's like one of those things, like, we'll finally get there, but then we can't survive. We're just going to go back. We're like, fuck it. We got to go back to America. But, yeah, I know she was great. I love her. It's so great, Jonathan. Every person you brought on this show has been amazing. You just know great people. You know, great people,
yeah.
Hardworking. Mm-hmm. You know, they're really awesome. You guys are really awesome. Rob,
yeah, just
about
all the
too.
People
You're
I don't
great.
Bring on the show, the people
oh,
that
you.
I don't. All the people that I don't bring on the show, the people I don't like. So, you know,
okay.
not the ones that
Got
you
it.
Bring. on, the ones you bring on, I love. But the ones that I don't bring on, that you don't bring on, I don't like. So,
okay,
you know,
got it.
Just know.
It's good for me, too, because I'm meeting people that I never knew that were in the industry.
Right.
Like, now I have two new friends, you know what I mean? Like, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
Like, I just added them on Facebook while we were chatting. We're officially
friends. And that's,
like, we're besties now, all of us.
That's awesome.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like, you know, you'll bring people on too that I don't know. So it's great sometimes that we can do that. Like you have people that I don't know. But you know what that means? That means I'm gonna have to start kicking off more people off my freaking friends list, because you know I need to add more friends. So I need to get rid of all these. What I do, because the stupid 5,000 limit, you know, person limit. And yes, I feel really weird being capped off at the 5,000. But it's so easy to get those 5,000, you know. So you have to.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Go in there.
I know, we get those 5,000 all the time.
And then you have to go in and you have to delete the people who either you don't know and you like look at their profiles and you're like, who the hell are these people? And then or
you're just so
you have
popular,
to find the.
Jonathan.
Well, I mean, I just add almost, I used to, I guess in the beginning, I added almost everybody. I was like, oh, that person was cool, that person was cool, you know, and then people added me, and then I was just like, you know, I added you because I'd heard of, you know, that I heard of you, you know.
He's like, I added you just because I had added you. Like,
I had to
you were not enthusiastic about adding me at all. He's like, so
no,
I added you. So you want to get rid of somebody else to add me. You feel sad about that. Like,
no,
I had to add
I'm not sad about that. Whatever. I was happy.
I'm just kidding.
I was happy to get rid of somebody to add you.
You know what I hate? Like, the recently, this person actually friends with you. I think it was after the post that you said you're gonna help manage me, and one of the director friends that you're friends with or whatever on your Facebook sent me a friend request, and I went to go accept it, and it was like, can't accept, there's too many people, and I was like, why send me a friend request if you have too many people? So I just left it, and then I sent a message. I was like, hey, I can't accept your friend request because you have too many people. I really don't know. I don't know. This is like 2 days ago. I have no idea. I have no idea.
I was going to say, because like one of my friends joked on that thing, was like, that means you can give me a date with her? And I was like, what the fuck?
That was really funny.
I was like, your boyfriend really likes seeing that. Jesus Christ.
Apparently I'm like, we're like pimping now. Like, apparently you're a manager, so you get me dates. That's fabulous. Like, that comment right there is like what's wrong with the industry. Like, you know what I mean? Give me a date with her now? Like,
I think he was joking, but like it didn't sound like joking. I don't know. It wasn't. You can't tell in the writing.
I always assume. Well, for me, my humor is like, I have big British humor, so I just automatically assume everyone is kidding because I'm always kidding.
Right.
Like, I'm serious when I say stuff, but I'm joking. So like, I'll sit here on the phone and be like, I fucking hate you, but it's a joke. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
Right,
this is weird. Like, so John is like, sure.
So you automatically knew he was joking.
Well, I don't know if he's joking, but I'm telling you, that's my problem, is I automatically assume everyone is joking or kidding because I'm assuming, I'm making an ass out of myself because I'm assuming everyone had humor like me, when in reality, it's not like that. Like, I assumed he was kidding with the whole date thing, but is he kidding? And that way of thinking got me in trouble when I actually came to dating. Because people will come up to me and be like, hey, why do you want a date? I'll be like, ha, right. sure. And they're like, no, really? And I'm like, sure. You really want to go on a date? Okay. You know, but, you know, it's one of those things. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. It's, he could have been telling the truth. But you know what?
Right.
It's just more fun to take life as a joke than serious.
Yeah, it's true. I'd agree with
so
that.
So who knows? Let's just assume, let's all assume he was kidding. Let's
right.
just brush it off.
Oh, man.
On that note, I would love to ask Rob just a few things on how you like to be. I don't think I'm asking the right question right now because I've been laughing too hard. I forgot what I was going to ask. Is that a cat in the background? Is that a kitty?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes,
what kind of cat do you have?
Is it beagle?
The cat is like. Speaking of British humor, the cat is like, get the fuck off the phone. Like, why are you on the phone?
He's hanging out with Dorothy. Dorothy's on my rocking chair on the porch. He plays with a cat.
Oh, is that another cat?
No.
Oh, Dorothy, that's my doll. That's my doll.
Okay, he has a doll.
No, he has an awesome doll. I swear to God, you have to come to Scares I Care, Laura, because Rob and I will be there, and he brings his doll all the time, and it freaks me out, man. Like it is awesome, but it's also creepy. So
wait, when
you know,
is this
great doll?
When is this thing Scares I Care?
Well, she's kind of a part of the whole Papa story.
Yeah,
that I was telling you about where she
Scares I Care.
She represents us. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to mention, Scares I Care is August 3rd through 5th.
Wait, August 3rd through what?
3rd. 5th.
3rd through 6th or 5th?
5th. Like 5.
Oh, 5. Okay, 5th. Got it. Sorry. I can't hear.
No,
okay,
yeah.
I'm writing it down now.
It's okay.
I'm writing it down now.
But yeah, Dorothy and the whole story, Papa story, Dorothy represents the souls of lost children that give Papa Strode life to go after all the evil in the world because their families was killed by evil people. So, yeah, because I'm working on the actual story to make it like a production of how Papa Strode got to be Papa Strode, if you will.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Little part of the whole deal, yeah.
You were talking
that's
with
awesome.
Paul at one point. You were talking with Paul at one point about doing a was it a Papa movie?
Yeah,
is that what you're
yeah.
talking about?
Pretty much, yeah. So I'm just
okay,
working
cool.
on the story, getting it put together, just getting the right people to put it together. But
Papa, can
but
you
it,
hear me?
Oh yeah. But yeah, Dorothy represents the souls of lost children. That gives Papa his power to go after all the... Because Papa's kind of like an avenging spirit. You know what I mean?
I love it.
He's like real dark.
Like a,
you know, it's like Crow, except yeah. like put gasoline on the fire as far as being real dark. You know?
Yeah. I love it. I love stories like that. I don't know. I also can imagine this as like a dark anime. Almost.
Right.
I don't know
oh,
why.
Yeah. Perfect
like, have you ever seen that show? There's a dark anime called Cowboy Bebop. I almost see it in the style of that. That would be cool.
There actually is an anime version of myself and Dorothy. I'll just send to you sometime.
Oh, yeah. Send it or post it on our page, on the podcast. All About Acting
Absolutely.
Podcast page. You're more than welcome to post stuff on there. I would shout out to any of our guests.
I can tell you some funny. I can tell you some funny Dorothy stories, actually. Here's one. Okay, I actually have Dorothy scared the heck out of people I've wrestled in the past. Like I was
what?
In a cage match one time, and I snuck Dorothy in the cage in the ring, right? And the wrestler saw Dorothy's face and like ran out of the cage and didn't come back. just like took off.
Oh, that's
because he was petrified.
Wait, you have these things on video, or is this just a thing you did, but this one isn't on video?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I got this this one funny story I'll tell you about real quick. I'm driving to an event, right? I don't know if it was a convention or what have you, but this driver just speeds right by me, right? So I eventually catch up to him, and he turns around and looks at me where I'm at, and he freaks out, and his eyes get like wide as saucers, and like just pulls over to the side of the road. I'm like, what the heck is this guy's trip? You know, what's wrong with him? And he's staying like one spot, like he's petrified, like he's scared to death, you know. And I happen to look in the back seat, right? And there's Dorothy pressed against the window with her hand out like this, like she's waving at the guy.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That's creepy.
I didn't know she was in the back seat.
No, wait a minute. Are you saying she's like a live doll? That's creepy.
It's funny because I did an interview with her one time, right? I'm sitting there next to Dorothy. She had her own separate chair and everything, right? And I'm doing an interview, and the director, like, totally is freaking out. I'm like, I asked him, what's wrong, man? And it's like, I could swear I saw her move during the interview, because he's filming the interview, right?
Oh, my God.
And I'm like,
That's crazy.
Yeah.
John just sent me a photo of you guys actually standing together. I'm going to post this
on
All About Acting site. This is great. Oh my god, it's funny.
It's hilarious.
So how did you find her? Did you buy her? Did you find her in a dumpster? Like, what's the story?
I found her at a horror shop up north, right?
Yeah.
And I did my own modifications to her, and kind of created the whole Dorothy effect.
And
it was kind of cool because not long after I got Dorothy, I got a chance to see Annabelle from The Conjuring. I got to introduce Dorothy to Annabelle, which I got a picture of that, actually. I can show you. It was pretty cool.
And they've
been, like, BFFs ever since.
The picture I have, she's holding Santa. She has a baby Santa in her arms.
Oh, yeah. She's a big ham.
So Stroh and I worked on a project together, The Invited, where the pilot for it. And there was a doll in that movie that one of the characters, one of like this little ghost girl had to have a doll, you know, as a part of it.
Of course.
And I was like,
why
trying
not?
To figure out where to find a doll. I didn't even think to ask for Dorothy, but I think Dorothy is just a little bit too much for that little girl. Like, I don't think she would have had, like, you know, Dorothy necessarily. But
I had some crazy dolls when I was a kid, I will say. My grandmother, which I still have to this day, she would make me porcelain painted, like hand painted by her own hand.
Oh,
dolls.
Nice.
Yeah, and so I have twins of what she called, quote unquote, Shirley Temples, and they like are a tiny version of Shirley Temple in a porcelain with like a curly wig and everything. It is creepy. I mean, when I first got it, she was my size. You know, it was that. Mm-hmm. You know, so who knows? I mean, but I have all these like hand painted dolls from my grandmother, and it's one of those things where they would be in my room, and I have to go and like turn their heads around. Because it freaked me out having them look at me. It was creepy.
I forgot to tell you guys, Dorothy made her debut actually in the Dust series a few episodes ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, to where Dorothy in the series portrays, the one of the main characters in the series, Mal, she has a alternate spirit from a past life named Elizabeth, who was a witch, right? And in the series, Dorothy actually, I resurrect her through a chest. You know, she was in the chest, and I took her out of the chest and put her in the office, right? And in the series, Dorothy has the inner spirit of Elizabeth inside her, Mal's former self, right? So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll have to send you the episode where that takes place. It's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to see that because now that I'm hearing all these stories about her, I'm like intrigued. I want to meet her now. Like, I need photos with her.
Oh yeah, she's right.
I would love to do a photo shoot, like a matching photo shoot. Like, I get the same outfit as her.
So I went. I want to mention this. Like, I was looking for a doll, you know, for the invited, and I went to like this thrift store, and I went looking, and I asked everybody, like, do you guys have dolls here or whatever? And they're like, I don't know, maybe somewhere around there. I look over to like my left, and I stare over, and there's this doll like staring right at me, and I'm like, ooh, I want that one. And I brought it home.
Oh, man.
I brought it home, and I brought it, you know, and my mom had seen it, you know, or whatever. I walked in and saw this doll sitting on a counter, you know, like mm-hmm. staring. Like, it was, my mom does not like that.
She's like, Jonathan,
whatsoever.
Why do you have this doll? Like, what's going on? Oh,
yeah,
God.
It was creepy. But,
she like, looks underneath the skirt. And she's like, let me check.
I just sent you, Laura, the picture of the doll.
Okay.
You know.
Nice. Oh, I see. Okay.
Nice.
Let me click here. Oh, God. That is hysterical. She looks like, she does look like a little hooker. I mean, her hair is kind of messy.
She's a little hairy.
Yeah. She does look like she had a long night, Jonathan.
she's been staying up redhead. And she's got some kind of stain on her freaking. She got a stain on her freaking dress, so maybe she is a hooker. I don't know. Like, maybe that's what she does on her spare time when I don't see her.
She looks great.
You know,
she looks great. I love this 1970s.
Nice.
Shirt, like rainbowish shirt she's wearing. I'd love to try.
I literally think it is a 1970s doll, you know, like I think this
totally.
Is cool. You know, yeah, so
yes.
Totally.
I don't know if you know this,
Rob, but I used to do puppeteering. So when it comes to dolls, I always wanted a doll that I could puppeteer because those are fun.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was puppeteering for Sesame Street. I did that for 2 years. It was really fun. I fell in love with the mechanics of it. And I honestly will tell you, I got the worst tennis elbow puppeteering. Like, who would have thought, like, that was a sport? And I was like, the muscle in my right arm it was huge. It was just huge after that. And, like, now it's like, fat again. But it was huge when I was puppeteering. But, so now when I look at dolls, like, I would love to find a creepy doll like Dorothy, but have the mechanism to be able to rotate the eyes or whatever. That would be really cool, you know, position it a certain way. So, I mean, it's so hard to find, though, humanistic dolls like that are in a puppet form unless you want to pay, you know, an extreme amount of money to get, like, you know, for, like, ventriloquists or whatever. They pay, you know, hundreds if not thousands of dollars for their puppets.
Right.
You know, but those are creepy. Those are, like, really creepy looking. It would be interesting to find one. It would be really cool if I ever went to, like, a thrift store or whatever and there was one just sitting there. Now that's creepy. I would have to buy it. Like, I will send it to you and I'd be like,
oh,
happy
please.
Birthday.
I know that Dorothy will be at Scares I Care, right, Rob?
Absolutely. She will miss
and
it.
And my doll will be there too. I have not named my doll yet. I should. I just haven't figured out
like
a good name for her.
She looks like a Heather.
I don't know. Heather is too. It's too plain of a name, you know? Like, Dorothy just said. You know, let's come up with some ideas later, like, not on the podcast. We'll do it on our own private thing. We'll figure it out. But
it's got to be private. Those private matters.
Well, yeah, because I don't want it. I don't want to. You know, it takes a while. You know, I don't want to.
It does.
You know, rush into naming. You know, a doll. But
yeah,
let's do that. So
baby.
That when we have. Yeah, when we have her at the Cyclic Productions table, we can keep the we can have the doll have a name now. You know,
there
Dorothy
you
and whatever we name
her.
Also, Paul will be bringing Paul will be bringing a continuity monkey. So we'll have a monkey and two dolls. So
sweet.
I'm pretty sure. It'll be a fun show. I'm telling you, you gotta come out.
If I do come out, I actually have a Muppet that I bought. I named him Fitzgerald, and he actually has a music video. I did this music video like 6 years ago. It's really funny. At least I think it's funny. No one else thinks it's funny. If I do come, I'll just bring my Muppet.
That'll be awesome.
He's bright orange. He's bright orange, and he doesn't have a nose.
Wow.
And he's naked. He's fully naked. He has no clothes.
Oh, naked and afraid, right?
Naked and afraid.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. On that note, Rob, I would love to, before we end the evening, because we have a few more minutes left, I would love for you to give just all the shout-outs that you want and kind of remix everyone into anything that's coming out soon and what they should look for coming out soon with you and where they can find you and follow you and all that stuff. So take it away.
Fantastic.
You have a good few minutes. Don't have to rush. Go ahead.
Awesome. Thank you. My official website, you can check out at thestro.com, thestro.com for all the latest news on wrestling, film, and cool merchandise. Facebook, Stro the Maestro. Twitter, @StroMaestro, Instagram, StroMaestro, and Dust Series, and check out all the episodes of Dust Series Season 2 going on right now, and the season finale coming up also as well at facebook.com/DUSK Series. That's Dust Series.
All right. Well, I just assumed that everything coming out soon, I was like, oh, he's going to take a while. So that was quick.
Well, I already mentioned the films, you know, The Rat Pack and Sacred Hearts, you know, and of course you can check out the music video on YouTube, If So It Begins, Retaliation. And
I got a couple of new projects coming up,
so as soon as I get information, I can divulge everybody about, you know, what I got
coming up for sure.
I'll let everybody know.
Absolutely, yeah, you can always come back on the show anytime. It was great having you. You and Tristan.
Oh, pleasure.
Fabulous.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, it was fabulous to have both of you on, and speaking of, if anything does come out, just let me or John know, and we'll post it on the All About Acting Instagram and Facebook and stuff, and help promote you guys and all that stuff. You know,
every promotion, thank you so much.
It's like that's the least we can do, you know, or the most we can do too. At the same time, you know, we all should support each other, and I want to support you guys. You guys have been amazing for coming on our show, and that's, you know, what we can do for you. And it was so great to meet you. And John, I guess take it away for the last minute. Go ahead. What do you
think? Man, we got like 7 minutes, you know, left.
I thought we had on my phone.
It's like
127. Oh, it's just 127 on my phone. I thought I was on time here. I thought I was being good. Because usually we get cut off.
we used to get cut off back in the day when we weren't paying for it. Now they don't cut us off.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, because we're rich now. Both
right.
of us.
Yeah, we're rich.
We've,
right now.
Like Dave Chappelle, you're rich.
We can pay for that premium. The premium experience.
Yeah, the premium. Yeah.
Right.
Which I'm going to have to try to do for all my podcasts at some point. So, good Lord. It's going to be expensive, but it's worth it. you know, in the end.
When I make my big bucks, I will pay for all your podcasts. How about that?
I forgot to mention you guys. I just had a film documentary drop off about myself. Film festivals
nice.
Around the country. Called The Maestro. Yeah, it's talking about like some of my wrestling career. It's talking about like personal stuff, like, you know, what I do from day to day, and
that's cool.
Camera crew following me around and everything. It's really cool. But it's called The Maestro. It's done by Green Hero Films.
Okay.
And it was played in Michigan last month, the International Film Festival there, and gonna be hitting different film festivals. It's gonna culminate, I believe, this fall in a couple film festivals in the East Coast. So I'll definitely keep you guys informed of where all gonna be playing.
Oh, that sounds really cool. I'm a huge fan of documentaries. Definitely keep us in the loop with that. That sounds amazing.
I'll send the trailer to it, the teaser trailer for it.
Oh, yeah, send the trailer for sure. I would love to see that. And then, we can post that. I'll post that tomorrow if you send that to me. And then in the morning, people can watch that. Yeah, that'd be great. As a wrestler, as your day-to-day, I have a question. Do you eat turkey and peanut butter? Yes or no?
I know
people that eat, like, turkey and peanut butter together.
Oh, turkey. Yeah, turkey's cool. You know what I mean? I stay away from bread a lot. But
yeah, okay.
Oh.
So no bread. See, that's my
problem. But a lot of wraps and salad.
I eat too much bread. How do you stay away from bread? That's my question.
Wrap. That's why I go to wraps, because, you know, instead of having sandwiches, I'll have wraps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and like some places, like you go like drive throughs, if you want to get a burger, you just get like a lettuce burger. Just put everything in burger inside lettuce. You know, it's really cool.
That's so
and you
hard.
Get, I know.
The bread is so good. You guys, that's
real.
One thing I love. I know, the struggle is real, trust me. And it shows in my butt. My butt wants the bread, I'm telling you. but that's one thing I'm going to say I love when it comes to, like, wrestlers and bodybuilders, runners. You know, and I should be this way because I'm, you know, 50% dancer. It is the way you can keep those breads out when you do, especially bodybuilders for those competitions. You know, they don't have those breads and things like that. And I'm like, I look at them and I look up to you guys because your eating habits are so good. The way you can just kind of just stop and have a good regimen for some odd months or weeks or days or whatever is fantastic. And I have a friend out here that, you know, he kind of helps me, you know, figure out, okay, well, today, you know, do little things little by little each day, kind of take something out, like, more and more each day, and then eventually, hopefully, becomes, like, the norm, you know, but it's so hard. I'm Italian and Portuguese. The bread is there to stay. It's so good.
I heard that, yeah. I believe that. I just did a film up north in New York called The Brother Statue,
and
with a bunch of Italians, and oh my gosh, I had to do so much cardio going back because Italians, gosh, they feast. You know
they
what I mean?
Do.
Yeah, cannolis, they plant Parmesan. Oh my gosh, it was
oh
crazy.
Gosh, yeah, and it's not just one dish. It's like, okay, first we're going to bring out the antipasta, and then we're going to bring out all the meats, you know, separately, and then we're going to bring out the pasta dish, and then we're going to bring out some coffee and espresso, and then dessert, and then more coffee and espresso. It's like, oh, okay, all right. It's like a 7-course meal in one night, every night. How do you do it? I don't know. Like, it's insane.
Crazy.
It's insane.
They feast, man.
Yeah, they do. Okay, well, I don't want to go over. Am I over now, John? Did I go over?
Well, we are almost over. Because
I can keep chatting.
Okay. It lets us go, I guess, another 15 minutes. We've never tried, but it does let
us
talk.
Let's not risk it.
Well, okay.
Boldly going, no one's talking.
Anyway. I will tell you. In the beginning of all my podcast stuff, when I first started with Blog Talk Radio, I decided to test it. And basically what had happened was back then you didn't have to pay for anything, you know. It was all, I guess, advertisements or whatever. And they let us go to, like, I think the longest I had gone was like 5 hours on a show or something,
wow,
you know,
that's amazing.
Before I got bored. Like, really, like,
well,
that's,
yeah,
the only thing that stopped me. Like, was like, there was just nothing else to talk about or something, you know, but like,
yeah,
they let us go as long as we could. But then they, you know, changed their ways. So they only give us, you know, they give us 2 hours that we can go if we want. And I think we can even have 15 minutes after that. But if we set it up for 2 hours, you know, but we didn't set up for 2 hours. We only set up for an hour and a half because, you know, generally a podcast should be about an hour and a half.
Exactly. We don't want to force people to have to stay on for 2 hours. Like, then it becomes,
right,
then people are like, I don't want to do it. You know, but if you tell them, okay, an hour, then they're like, for sure. If you say an hour and a half, they're like, okay. But they still do it.
Yeah. Like Rob's still on talking with us.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's been so great. And, you know, it's what's great is with these podcasts, they're so chill and you can talk about anything. It isn't, you know, we don't have a million people listening to us either. So it isn't like we have to make sure we don't, you know, think this or that or talk about a film or this, that, and the other and, too soon or things like that. You know, it's very relaxed. It's very getting to know each other. And it's all about the knowledge and it's all about, you know, giving people advice and things like that. And with that, you have plenty to talk about, you know.
Right.
You and Tristan, you know, we're both chatting. You know, me and John, we're talking for a good, like, 20 minutes at one point because you guys – we had stuff you wanted to say and get out there, and that's what makes it great with this podcast. Is, you know, it's mostly your podcast. You know, we're just here to kind of guide you and give you, you know, a relaxed environment so you guys can, you know, kind of open up and let of who you are, and let people see how great you guys are, and hopefully want to work with you guys. So anyone out there, work with these people because they're awesome, and you could just tell over the phone, and so thank you.
All right, well, I will definitely take it away now.
Shout out to Tristan and you, Rob.
I will definitely take this away and close with our stuff. Basically, if you want to reach us, and if you definitely want to come on the show, please email us at allaboutactingpodcast@gmail.com, and we will definitely – we'll definitely put you on as an actor. If you are an actor you know, really, like, that's what we want. It's all about acting. We want real, you know, people who are that do that for a living. Anyway, also check us out on Twitter, All About Act Pod, and Instagram is All About Acting Podcast, and so is Facebook. And we also have a Facebook group, which we were talking to Rob about. So that's where we post things, and other people can post stuff about their acting experiences or what they're up to, like promotion, self-promotion. We're all about that. So please join our All About Acting Podcast group, and we will accept you and plug your stuff. You know, that's what we're here for.
Yep.
And what was the last thing? I have one more thing. Oh, next week. So far, right, next week, I've got Juliet Rees, London, coming on. I believe she'll be she's one of the guests. I've got other people I'm talking to, so we'll see who's able to come on and whatnot. Unfortunately, getting people in advance is just as hard as getting people, like the next day. So thank you, Rob, for coming on, and Tristan for coming on.
Oh,
like,
thank you guys so much.
You guys came in pretty quickly. You were like, yeah, I'm excited. And so was Tristan. So just having you guys on here was awesome.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Because we're all busy, and it's so great to know that, you know, it is hard to get people on, especially that's why we change it to 9 p.m., so more people can get on, because as actors, you know, we're doing all the 50 jobs and 50, you know, films, and, you know, like Rob said, he's doing this, that, and the other, and so is Tristan now, it looks like. She's super busy, and so just thank you for your time, and have a good evening, and everyone out there, have a good evening, and have a good weekend.
All right, everybody, have a great one. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Tristan.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.